Everywhere I look, the modern creed seems to be the same two words, let go. I hear it in classrooms and in meditation halls, whispered in podcasts and stitched into captions. Let go of desire, let go of outcomes, let go of the past. Let go, let go, let go. And yet something in me resists, not because I want to cling to everything, but because the slogan often feels like a misreading of life itself. If everything worth wanting must be released, what remains of a life? Where? In a short span of years, do we find the quiet fulfillment of holding something near and dear and staying with it long enough to become responsible for it and to be shaped by it in return? Detachment may be the philosophy of our era, but whenever I watch someone protect what they love, stand loyal through weather, or shoulder the weight of another's becoming, I recognize something older and truer. Attachment, protection, loyalty. These are not the enemies of freedom. They are the grammar through which a life learns to speak. We help each other grow. We guide and are guided. We learn as we go. Is this not what life is about? We begin then, not with a rejection of letting go, but with a clarification. What is it we are meant to release, and what are we meant to keep? The difference matters. It is the difference between indifference and love, between clutching and care, between a life that drifts and a life that roots. The misunderstanding of letting go. When I am urged to let go, I try to hear the wiser sentence beneath it. Release the need to control. That is different from releasing care. Somewhere along the way, a medicine for grasping became a mantra for disengagement. The practice meant to loosen our white-knuckled hold on outcomes hardened into a philosophy that suspects devotion itself. We started confusing detachment with indifference, as though love were safest at a distance. But love is not a spectator sport. It asks us to enter the field and stay there. Letting go in its deepest sense is not a command to withdraw. It is an invitation to stop trying to own the ending. When we confuse the two, we end up abandoning the very relationships and responsibilities that would have taught us what freedom actually feels like. Not rootlessness, but rootedness without shackles. Not apathy, but attention without possession. Possession cages. Commitment shelters. The first tightens its fist, mine, 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 until the thing living inside can barely breathe. The second opens its hands and says, I will be here. I will protect what is tender. I will carry my share of the weight and sometimes more, because that is what our promise asks of me. Letting go has value only when it frees us to hold this way, what I refuse to release. There are anchors I do not wish to cut loose, not because I am afraid, but because they are the very shape of my life. I think first of vows to people, not grand speeches, but the everyday presence that says again and again, you can count on me. Loyalty is unfashionable in a world that prizes optionality. Yet each time I choose to stand with rather than hover above, I discover that fidelity is not a chain around the ankle. It is a shelter we build together against the weather. I think also of work worth doing. Not the cult of productivity, but the dignity of a craft patiently learned, the discipline of showing up when glamour has gone, the humility of being shaped by the demands of something larger than my mood. There is a particular satisfaction that arrives only after years of attention. To let go of that would not be enlightenment, it would be amnesia. And then there are first principles: truth, mercy, justice. I do not want to surrender these because they are slow and the world is fast. They are the ballast that keeps a person from capsizing when the current turns. They do not always make life easier. They do make life coherent. Without them, we become a collection of clever moves. With them, we become someone. These are not weights I'm trying to drop. They are the chosen burdens that give strength, like a pack on the back that makes the legs and lungs real. What I am learning to release, letting go becomes necessary when the grip itself begins to shrink love. I am learning to unclench where fear and control have built a little fortress inside me. The fantasy of controlling outcomes is usually the first brick removed. I cannot command tomorrow, and every attempt to do so disfigures today. Integrity is mine, endings are not. The small story of approval is another wall. It is easy to live for the scoreboards, numbers, nods, the soft hum of being seen. But the scoreboard is noisy and impatient, while conscience is quiet and slow. When I choose approval over truth, I begin to vanish from my own life. Letting go here is not a loss, it is a return. And then there's the reflex to tighten whenever I sense that something precious could be taken. I feel the fist closing. I feel the air thin. The paradox is simple and humbling. The tighter I hold, the less I can truly carry. A kite only flies because it is held by a string, but the string must be supple, not strangling. Love requires that kind of line, strong enough to tether, loose enough to breathe. How to hold without choking. What does it mean in practice to carry what we love with open hands? I think of it as a posture before it becomes a method. It is the difference between having and hosting. To have is to own, to guard, to fear the loss. To host is to welcome, to tend, to trust that what is real can remain even as it grows and changes. Holding lightly is not the same as holding carelessly. It is a sustained attention that does not try to own the ending. It shows up again and again, not because the result is guaranteed, but because the showing up is the point. It can say no when a boundary is needed, because edges do not diminish love. They give it depth and shape. Without edges, everything spills. With good edges, the water becomes a river. This way of holding is drawn toward repair rather than retreat when harm happens. It asks, what has been frayed and how might we mend? Sometimes the mending is a conversation. Sometimes it is time. Sometimes it is the courage to step away from a pattern that keeps wounding. There is a hard truth hidden here. Leaving exploitation is not betrayal of love. It is fidelity to the good that love requires. Open hands are not limp hands. They are discerning. In all of this, I return to a simple test. Am I becoming more truthful, more courageous, more generous by holding on here? Or am I contracting into fear and control? If my carrying enlarges love, I keep carrying. If my carrying shrinks love, I loosen my grip and learn to carry differently, or not at all. Small rituals that help change rarely arrives by declaration. It arrives by rhythm. I have found it useful to name my vows, plainly and without performance. Words spoken aloud have a way of binding us to our better selves. I choose to be faithful to this person, to this work, to these principles. The sentence is ordinary. The practice is not. I try, too, to keep a Sabbath of release. One small arena each week, where I let the outcome be what it will be, and I tend only to my part. It might be a conversation I do not overscript, a plan I do not micromanage, a day where I refuse the anxious compulsion to check the world's approval of me. These tiny abstentions teach me the feel of an open hand. Gratitude is the other steadying ritual, not as a performance of positivity, but as a daily naming of the ties I am glad to be bound to. Three things, often the same things. The person whose presence steadies me, the work that refuses to flatter me, the principle that cost me something yesterday and is still worth it today. Gratitude does not remove the weight. It reminds me why I'm strong enough to carry it. And when harm occurs, as it does in any real life, I am trying to choose repair before retreat. To apologize when I am the one who tore the fabric. To invite reconciliation when I am the one who was torn. And if the pattern becomes one of exploitation, to step away with clarity. That exit, too, can be a form of keeping faith, because it protects what love needs in order to remain love, dignity, safety, truth. An ending that isn't an ending. I began with a discomfort and arrive at a distinction. Letting go, when understood as non-clinging to outcomes, is wise. Letting go, when practiced as indifference to what is near and dear, becomes a hollow creed. Life is not an endless shedding of desire until nothing remains. Life is the difficult, beautiful art of choosing what to carry and learning how to carry it. Keep the vow, loosen the grip, love with open hands, not detachment from life, but non-clinging in love, not apathy, but steadiness, not rootlessness, but rooted freedom. The age says let go as if release were the end game. I think the wiser move is subtler. Let go of what keeps you from holding well, and then with quiet courage, hold.